announcement to make. Jesus is coming again. Faith is able to wait. How's your faith? Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read beginning at verse 32 through the end of the chapter. Because Jesus is coming again. Hebrews 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your honesty. You are truth, but you also let us know what it is to be a Christian. And Father, it's too easy to get confused and to misbelieve the reality of what a Christian is supposed to be or even what faith is. So thank you for your Holy Spirit working through some individual, giving us the book of Hebrews, and hear this chapter on faith. Lord, you know us individually, know where we stand with reference to a relationship with you. You know where we stand with reference to faith. You know how good we are at waiting, or perhaps we're quite impatient, not able to wait, and don't understand or see properly. So allow us to see your word tonight, I ask. And dear God, may you be glorified. May you be glorified in our response as we would reach out to you and prayerfully live for you. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Great heroes of the faith. Who comes to your mind? Who do you think of when we speak of great heroes of the faith? Certainly the heroes we've looked at here in chapter 11 of Hebrews. We've seen Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Enoch and Noah and Moses. Moody Bible Radio used to have stories that I loved to listen to. It was called Stories of Great Christians. D.L. Moody, Hudson Taylor, William Carey, Adoniram Judson. Kids and adults need to be reading biographies and autobiographies. We need to hear and see what God has to say as he's worked through people like you. And like me, there are even videos downstairs. I was down in the library before the service tonight looking over what's there. There's some children's videos. The things that are good for the family and for children of all ages to look at and to experience and to be reminded of biblical heroes. Biblical heroes living in special circumstances. Some of them overwhelming, but they refused to stay down as they waited upon God. In the midst of their ordinary life situations, by faith, they waited. By faith, they persevered. By faith, they held on to what God had to say. By faith. Our author here reminds us, hey, it's getting late. We don't have time to look at all of them. So I'm going to briefly, this is not just me talking here about tonight, but this is what the author is saying. What more shall I say? Basically, hey, there's too much. There's too much. But let me just mention a few names, a few situations to help us better understand what faith is. And so we're going to briefly highlight. Lane, in his commentary on this section, said this. This summary of names and situations, Lane says, it presupposes a rather detailed knowledge of the Old Testament. In our day and age, the Old Testament, hey, let's get to something that's more critical for living today. Let's get to the New Testament. Let's get to know the New Testament. The Old Testament, I'm not sure I can trust the God of the Old Testament. I'm not sure I want to know. No, to know the God who you say you believe in if you're a believer is to know that the old and the new, he is the same. And again, these names and situations we're going to look at tonight are looking back to the detailed accounts back in the Old Testament. And so the author here, and again, he's writing to Jews who are thinking of leaving Christianity. It's too tough. It's too tough. Let's just go through the rituals of the Old Testament and get to know God that way. Oh no. Even the rituals of the Old Testament were pointing ahead to the reality of the new in which we live. But to get to know our God, we need to know him back there and the events that happened back there. And so tonight we're going to look back there. But I want to take us into the now and the today. Forgive me for quoting a man who, to my knowledge, was not a Christian. I've done that before. It's nothing necessarily wrong with it. How intelligent was he? He was laughed at. He was the catcher for the New York Yankees, Yogi Berra. And some of you remember Yogi Berra, who said, the obvious, it ain't over till it's over. Huh? That's right. But until it's over, it's not over. And stories of faith that we're going to look at tonight ain't over yet, because it's not over. How do I know that? Because we're here. We're here. And stories of great faith are to be lived out by you and me. The stories continue, stories of great faith. What we're going to look at here tonight is to see again what the Scripture says, by and large, about ordinary people. But they're not ordinary because they're extraordinary. How are they extraordinary? Because they have a Savior who lives within them when they are Christians. You ain't just ordinary peoples. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you're a child of the King. If you belong to Jesus Christ, God lives within you. And it's a miracle, the miracle of the new birth. And the stories of faith continue as we learn to live by faith. You want to please God? You already know from Hebrews 11. Without faith, it's impossible. Impossible to please God. You can't do it. It's by faith. It's by trusting in him. But what is this faith all about? Tonight we're going to look some more and see. You may see yourself as weak and needy and just ordinary. But if by faith you take hold of the promises of God, and by obedience you step forward, by faith take hold of the promises of God, and by obedience you step forward in life's, your life's daily circumstances, once again, the stories of great faith will then continue. You are a part of it. So look tonight. Faith stories continue. Faith may see great victories. Faith may see great victories. And within the Scriptures, we have illustrated. First, we look at a number of names. They're just thrown at us. We have four judges. There's Gideon, there's Barak, there's Samson, there's Jephthah. That's what you read there in your Bible. Four names. But each of those names tells us of accomplishments of great faith, of victories that God gave them. Gideon, Judges chapter 6. He had an army of 32,000 men. They were going to go up against an army of 135,000. 32,000 on my side, 135,000 on the other side. Oh, no. That's 4-1 and then some against me. And God said, Gideon, your army's too large? Yeah, let's whittle it down. And again, you read it in Judges chapter 6. And it was whittled down from the 32,000 to 300 men. Now we've got 300 on my side and 135,000 on the other side. And God gave the victory because they did it God's way. What a ridiculous way to fight a war. A pitcher, a torch within the pitcher and trumpets. Huh? Against swords and whatever machinery you want to talk about. Victorious by faith. A tremendous victory. You've got Barak in chapter 4 and 5 of Judges against Sisera's Canaanite coalition. He had 900 iron chariots. Iron chariots. You're out on a field and this chariot comes out. Some of you have seen Ben-Hur, and you remember there the hero Ben-Hur there against the Roman who had a chariot, and his chariot had like knives on the wheels or the hubs, and it would chop you down. We got 900 chariots coming against us. Again, Barak. But even Barak there, he wouldn't go forward without a woman. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But you've got tremendous faith as God gave the victory. You've got Samson. Oh, Samson, chapters 13 to 16. Faith rose to the top for Samson, and it fell with his great sinfulness. Blinded and humiliated. But at the end, Lord, give me strength to knock down these two columns. And he killed more Philistines in his death than he did when he lived. Jephthah, and I'll come back to Samson, but Jephthah, chapter 11 and 12, overcame resentment. He was not wanted. He was sort of a half-brother, an illegitimate brother. Family kicked him out and so forth. And then they came to Jephthah. And by faith, God gave victory through Jephthah. John Calvin reminds us as we sum up those four, each of the four judges we looked at had great struggles. Gideon was slow to take his calling, and he would later lead Israel into idolatry. Gideon was not a perfect saint by far. Barak, as I mentioned, wouldn't go unless Deborah, he had to have his lady in front of him. It wasn't his lady as such, but Deborah. You got the Song of Deborah listed in the scriptures. But Barak is listed here as the one who was there. And yes, we've got Samson who fell to Delilah and then some. A selfish sex maniac in many ways. But acts of faith, he did. And you got Jephthah who makes that foolish vow at the end. I tend to believe he sacrificed his daughter. Others do not. We can disagree on some things in the scriptures. But in any case, he never should have made that vow. The first one that comes out of my house, what did he think, it was going to be a dog or a sheep? The first one that comes out of my house, I'm going to sacrifice to the Lord. Jephthah, what are you doing? Sometimes, don't we all speak before thinking? Yeah. But John Calvin reminds us, I quote, although faith may be imperfect and incomplete, it does not cease to be approved by God. God does not tell us the bad stuff that we know from back in Judges. But they did act by faith. I remind you, we are sinners, all of us, and we don't always do what's right. I hope we don't do it on purpose. But God is looking for those who are willing to step out and trust Him, and your faith is recognized. And so we have four individuals given to us. And then we have a couple of men who are named here as well. You've got David. David, who as a shepherd killed a bear and killed a lion, trusting God. Then, of course, we know David and Goliath. He's mentioned, just David. And you've got Samuel. Some of his severest opponents were those of his own people. But Samuel, a man of prayer, the man who anointed King David, he's mentioned here. And you've got prophets that are mentioned, whoever they are. Well, we're studying Habakkuk and there's Jeremiah. And we're reminded again of the struggles that they had. But they kept on being faithful to God and preaching. And
Habakkuk, even his name says, the wrestler. He wrestled with God. I don't understand. And maybe you find yourself in life the same way at times. Why did you allow this? Why did you do this? Why didn't you act here? Why did you just let it happen? God, why? And you may never get the reason down here. Many times we're not supposed to. Because what is God looking for? Faith to believe. And there's enough here, and there should be enough here in your life to show you that your faith is not wasted. It's not useless. But there is this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, the one God, who gives us enough evidence to say, a lot of things in life I don't understand, but I'm going to trust in you. And so they're mentioned here. And then we have some actions that are mentioned here. Some shut lions' mouths. We mentioned David. He took on a lion. Samson took on a lion. But probably we're talking here about Daniel. Daniel. Lions' mouths were shut by faith as he believed. Daniel. Daniel, did your God keep you through the night? Or are you still there? You remember the king as he came in the morning. He couldn't sleep all night long. He was tricked to have Daniel thrown in the lion's den. Oh yes, king. Oh yes, my Lord. My God. My God. Faith. And we just, all it mentions here is shut lion's mouths. Or quench the power of fire. The power of fire? Yeah. Daniel's three friends. Shadrach, Meshach, and you know the third, a bungalow. You got them. Yeah, that's not original. But we got them. And again, it was by faith. And we'll look at them a little bit later. By faith, as they reached out. And then we're told about situations here. Women received back from the dead their loved ones. And we have the widow of Zarephath with Elijah and the Shunammite woman with Elisha in the Old Testament. You back and you see God brought tremendous victories. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Great hymn of the church in years gone by, at least. Victory in Jesus. Wow. Faith may see great victories illustrated from the scriptures. And encouragement we see through God's actions. Verse 33, faith obtained promises. They obtained promises. God-given, but by faith the promises must be appropriated. I know in whom I have believed, Paul wrote. I know that God who told you, Paul, and I've taken that promise for myself. I know in whom I have believed, and I too am persuaded that God, you're able to keep my soul. You're able to keep my soul, and you've got a place restored for me in heaven. Faith accepts the promises of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. That's salvation. That's what's there. Faith obtained promises. And in verse 34, we see what faith did also. From weakness, people were made strong by faith. And isn't that Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 and 10? Paul shares, it's when I'm weak. That's when I'm strong. Because I've learned to see that God, your grace is sufficient for every need that I have. I've got a small need, your grace covers it. I got a big need, your grace, it's sufficient. It's more than enough. Are you finding that in your life? We're supposed to be, as we are living out lives, if we're Christians, by faith. God, it's not easy. We talked about some of those things this morning. The struggles, the battles that are there. But I'm going to keep looking, and I'm going to keep moving forward. By faith. And we see the actions of God. The encouragement that comes through his actions. By faith we take hold of his promises. And by obedience we step forward. To live another day. To sleep another night. To move and to understand again. My God is able. And I'm holding on to him. Faith may see great victories. But then there's the other side. Faith may suffer greatly. Faith may suffer greatly. Faith does not guarantee earthly deliverance. from death, from suffering. Faith does not eliminate pain or hard times. No, faith does not guarantee. Just because I'm a child of God, He doesn't pamper us. He doesn't pamper us and He doesn't make things easy for us as such. He's always with us, that He has promised. Remember, it ain't over till it's over. Yogi Berra, a yogiism, as they call it, I believe. It's not over till it's over. We're still on planet Earth. It's still a sinful world. It's still sin within us. So what do we expect? As I mentioned this morning, what I sometimes expect and what I want is, I want heaven right now. But that's not the way it is, as my body continues to show itself and other things going on in my world. That's life down here. It ain't over till it's over. And so not everyone that we pray for is healed physically, a miracle. Not everyone who needs a job gets the job they want as we pray for it. Not every guy gets the girl or the girl gets the guy or the marriage relationship works out. We're still on planet Earth. It doesn't always happen that way. And it's not because of lack of faith, necessarily. Again, my cousin's wife, he and Olav and Ellen in Norway, both of them have Parkinson's disease, as I recall. But she's had a lot of unknown illnesses and weaknesses and this and that down through the years. Remember, people from that congregation, the Free Church in Norway, a former pastor traveled to Toronto for the Toronto Blessing. By Toronto, Canada, next to the airport, there was a church. The Toronto Blessing made news around the world. A movement of the Holy Spirit. How do you know it's the Holy Spirit? Because you learn how to bark like a dog. Isn't that wonderful? Barking like a dog shows that the Holy Spirit is now moving in your soul. Coming out, there were other things too, but that was a part of the Toronto Blessing. And he brought it back to Norway and it split the church. The Holy Spirit doesn't split churches. Satan splits churches. We looked at that this morning, the opponent. That's what he's looking to do, to divide families, marriages, break up, keep you from getting saved or keep you from growing in your faith. And they came back to Ellen. She would write to me, speak to me in Norway and over here in the States. John, people in my church, they tell me I'm not healed because I don't have enough faith. Don't have enough faith. No, it's not having this much faith, and then if you get that much, then you get the answers to prayer every time. Guaranteed, every time. You do get an answer to prayer every time. But remember, God can say no. Kids, your parents say no sometimes when you ask for something. And prayerfully they say no to you because they love you. And God says no to us sometimes because He loves us. And He wants the best for us. But that's not the best that I'm looking for. Get your focus straightened out. Faith believes that God is good and He does what's best. That's faith. So faith does not guarantee earthly deliverance. It's not the lack of faith. It's not that I have to make myself more worthy and then God will give me. Remember, we're all unworthy. All of us are unworthy. It's grace, grace, mercy, mercy. It's a loving God who works in our lives because His goal is not to make us happy, talking to a couple that's struggling. You don't know them. Does God want you happy? I asked the wife. Of course. I said, no, He doesn't. No, He doesn't want you happy. He wants to give you a joy in the midst of an ugliness of a marriage situation that hasn't been the best. He can do that. It's a sinful world, and sometimes marriages get ugly. It's a sinful world. Divorce them, the world says. You deserve better, the world says. God says, no, you just don't divorce or other things like that. I am with you always. I love you. I'm there to encourage you, to strengthen you, and to help you. No, we are dealing with the mystery of God's sovereignty in a sinful world. Faith believes God knows best and acts in a way which is best for us and brings glory to Him, even if we don't understand. Faith does not guarantee earthly deliverance. And so we go back to the scriptures, and it's illustrated for us.
You look here at verse 35. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Hallelujah, that's a great victory. Others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Scourging, chains, verse 36, and imprisonment for their faith. The word tortured is an interesting word. It's tumpanidzo, tumpanidzo. You can almost hear a timpani. You know the kettle drum in an orchestra? You know the bands that stretch across that drum? That's the word that's tortured here. What they would do is would take you and strap you down like this. I can't remember what it was. Was it an Indian burn or something like that? They used to, you know, pound on you or something? Well, here they're beating on you. You're strapped down and they beat on you, and they beat on you, and they beat on you, and beat on you, and beat on you, until your innards crush from the beatings and you eventually die. That's the word that's used here. That's the word that happened in so many ways. Stoned, Jeremiah was stoned, but probably referring here to Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, who was stoned to death. For his lack of faith? No, for his obedience to God and his faith in God. But he was tortured as such. Kent, in his commentary, gives us an illustration. Because some of the writings here may refer to incidents that 2 Maccabees, not a biblical book, but a historical book, tells us about. Kent shares this. In 2 Maccabees, the following account is given of Eleazar, a 90-year-old scribe who was threatened with death at the time of Antiochus Epiphanes. An antichrist, if you please. Eleazar, one of the principal scribes, a man already well stricken in years, he was 90-ish, and of a noble countenance, was compelled to open his mouth to eat swine's flesh. He's a Jew. He kept like Peter did. Lord, I've never put unclean things in my mouth. He was made to eat swine, pig's flesh. We would say ham, and I love ham. But as a Jew back there under the Mosaic covenant, no. He was compelled to open his mouth to eat swine's flesh, but he welcomed death with renown rather than life with pollution. He advanced of his own accord to that kettle drum. He walked, a 90-year-old man, walks there. Go ahead, strap me down and kill me. But before you kill me, he spit out the ham. Again, under the Mosaic law, we can now eat ham, and I'm thankful for that. But again, he wanted to say, my faith is in God. Go ahead and kill me. We talked about, well, let me see here. Near death, he said, it is good to die at the hands of men and look for the hopes which are given by God, that we shall be raised up again by him. For as for thee, thou shalt have no resurrection unto life. Go ahead and kill me, but you're not going to rise again. But you kill me. I'd rather die by your hand than be raised by my God. Faith. By faith, they were tortured. Yes, great victories, but also Christians may suffer greatly. The fire, we saw the great victory of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But many of you know Bishop Polycarp. He lived 69 to 155 AD. He was the bishop of the church at Smyrna. One of the books we read about in Revelation and so forth. He was bishop there, 69 to 155 AD he lived. He was asked by the Roman authorities to curse Christ if he wanted to be released. Some of you know his response. 86 years I have served Christ, him, and he never did me any wrong. How can I blaspheme my King who saved me? The Roman official threatened, if you do not change your mind, I will have you consumed with fire. He didn't change his mind. And he was burned at the stake. Burned at the stake and killed. Great victories. Also in God's sovereignty. Some of them, maybe some of us, may suffer one day. It's happening around the world, even now. Yes, illustrated biblically, physical suffering, torment, and death. But also emotionally. You look at verse 26, and what do we read here about some of them? again, not 26, 36. Others experience mockings and scourgings. Mockings. Mockings, you move on, left destitute, wandering about, uncertain of the future, wearing goatskins, and my first thought was goatskins and sheepskins. Are you talking about those in the Roman amphitheater where the animals would come in and kill them as they put on these skins? Apparently it was just living in poverty, not having much more. The dress of an Elijah, if you please, and some of the others. No place to lay their head. Didn't have a nice, soft, king-size bed that some of us have, and so forth. No, just, again, emotionally wandering, not sure of the future, what's going to happen next. Again, faith may suffer greatly, all in the mystery of God's sovereignty. But all of them had a response of faith that we see in the text here and that we see in people's lives today. Faith that is needed because I trust in God. Some are delivered victoriously, some are put to death. God, your ways are far different than our ways. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I've referred to them several times here tonight. You recall the king shared, you will bow down, you will obey. Listen to their response. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. We don't have to think about it or talk about it or decide what we're going to do. We already know. If it be so, our God, whom we serve because of faith, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. He is able to deliver you. That was our song, I think, in our family devotions yesterday, Diane and I, in our family devotions. He is able. But even if he decides no, because faith may suffer greatly. If that's what God has for me and a testimony he wants for me or for you, he wants us to be willing and to trust and believe. Are you getting the picture more and more as we've been going through Ephesians here and Hebrews, what it is to be a Christian? It's not just pray the prayer, now I'm going to heaven, I can live as I please. And life's going to be wonderful and have my best life now because I'm a Christian. We need to understand about the war I spoke about this morning. It's real. It's real. And even in the midst of that, I speak for myself, we have it so good in so many ways. In so many ways. We are blessed here in America. It may not last long. It may be changing. It may be changing. And that should not be our occupation or preoccupation, to change the world as such. It's to build up the kingdom of God as we reach out to souls one at a time. Souls one at a time, when we vote and when we act, we will be acting prayerfully then in a biblical manner. But our task is the kingdom of God. It's not to change America or even to make America great again. No. It's Christ's kingdom that we are called. This is the great Christian faith that he's talking about. I wrote down, Lord, I am trusting you for deliverance, but deliverance your way. And remember, death is not losing. Not if we believe to be absent from the body. I'm in your presence, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Face to face we shall behold him. Face to face. What a day that will be when my Jesus I see. And yes, it will be worth it all to be faithful to him. Yes, to be faithful to him. What can we do to have that type of faith? We need to be looking at his word and asking God to search me, O God, and see, and to continue to change me, to make me strong, to have convictions. Remember this simple song at 16 when I sang it. I didn't sing it, but I quoted it at baptism. Though none go with me, yet I will follow. Though none go with me. And you may find, as has been found down through the ages, that some of your worst enemies, Jesus found it, were right in the church.
or people who consider themselves Christians. But you know, you're a little bit too fanatical. How can you be too fanatical in Christianity? Take up your cross and follow me, Jesus said, nothing less. And so I trust I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. That's Christianity biblically. That's what he calls us to. Though even Christianity itself. I want to be careful. But I see too much where I think it's going the wrong way. In too many ways. Yes. Justin Martyr. That's a nice last name or a calling. Justin Martyr. Remember, brothers and sisters, they can kill us, but they can't hurt us. Huh? They can kill us, and yeah, they can make it painful, but they can't hurt us. Not if we have Jesus Christ and live by faith. Faith may see great victories. Faith may suffer greatly. Faith sees rewards. Number one, the world is not worthy of such men. Verse 38 of our text. Men of whom the world was not worthy. The world shows its foolishness. The world shows how little they understand in the way they respond to true biblical faith. Festus said to Paul, Paul, you're out of your mind. The Jews said of Paul, you are not fit to live. No, he was the one who had life because life is in Jesus and living for him. That's Christianity. You can count on it. More and more we're going to be out of tune with the world culture. More and more you're going to be out of tune maybe with some people in your family. More and more, if you truly want to follow Jesus, his way is so different than everything else that the world puts forth. Yes, count on it. This world is not worthy of people. They weren't worthy of Jesus. He died for us, and then he went home, coming again. God's approval should be enough. Verse 39, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground, and all these having gained approval through their faith. Approval through their faith. Yes, that should be what matters to me. I want to please Jesus. I don't do it all the time very well. I want to. I want to do better. I want to keep living for him and trusting him. I've told you before, you're tired of hearing it. I'm a coward at heart. I've never been in a fist fight. I've been big enough to say, hey, cut it out. And they've listened to me for the most part. And I've learned how to run when I've had to run. But again, grace upon grace to do whatever we have to do. God, I believe, is sufficient. And we need to be willing to see his victories, but also to suffer if he calls us to that reality in life. God's approval is what we should be living for. Not Pastor John's. Not a people pleaser. Not our peers staying popular with them. If I'm popular with Jesus, that's what should matter to me the most and what I should live for. And finally, God provides his rewards. Look again at 39. All these having gained approval through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised. They didn't see the answers to the promises completely back then. Remember, the Messiah had not come. And now when you get to Hebrews, the Messiah had come and he died on the cross. But we've been looking at all these Old Testament people here. They did not see that. But even beyond that, the final glorification, we don't see that yet. But it's been promised. It's been promised. A time without pain, a time without sorrow, a time without tears. We don't see that yet. But it's coming. Because he who has promised is faithful, and will bring it to completion in his day, in his time. Yes, we have so much more than these Old Testament heroes we're looking at here. We have so much more. Again, Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. The Holy Spirit was sent down. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We have that. So much more than so many of the heroes we've looked at. But they believed in what they had. And God saw their faith. And it was sufficient.
And if our faith is biblical and we look to him, it is sufficient. He's what is looking to, and we will have approval with him. And there's something still to come. Look at 40. God had provided something better for us so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Souls are in heaven, sort of. They're awaiting their final destination in heaven. Sheol, the place of the dead, there's a bad compartment and a good compartment. They're not in hell yet, those who are not Christians. They're bound for hell, but the great white throne judgment must come. But remember, we don't get our new bodies until the rapture. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be rapunzels, snatched up. And somewhere between my feet on the ground, if I'm still here, and meeting Christ in the air, it's a new body. And it doesn't ache anymore. It's not sore. Yeah. I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know what I'm going to look like. I believe I'll recognize my wife. And I'm looking forward to recognize you guys. That'll be a new body. We haven't gotten it yet. They in the Old Testament, they have to wait. They have to wait. They're waiting now. Oh, Lord, come back. We want a body. That was Paul's problem, remember? I don't want to die now and just have a soul. But hold it. It's better for you that I stay. But the promise of getting a new body is a promise that also will be fulfilled one day. Lane in his commentary shares, for the person of faith, the future is no longer insecure. For the person of faith, the future is no longer insecure. I can sing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. It's secure. Full assurance. I get 2-3 mailings last week about life insurance. Even at my age, you can get for those $15 or whatever. I forget what it was. I look at it, and I open that up out in the garage so it can go right in the trash can and so forth. I don't need it at this point. But this assurance I do need. And this assurance by the grace of God lives within. Hallelujah. Your story, if you're a Christian, becomes his story. And he's still writing. It was an old song they used to sing, my God's a writing in the sky. He sees all you do and he hears all you hear. And so he's a writing, he's a writing, he's a writing. And our faith stories are still being written because we're still on planet Earth. Again, the righteous one does not shrink back, but he lives by faith. He lives by faith. Arthur and Wilda Matthews. Arthur lived from 1912 to 1970. I can't read my writing. I think it's 78. From Australia, he was a missionary. They were missionaries to China with China Inland Mission. Here, Hudson Taylor, if I recall correctly. He was back there, and World War II. You've got the communist takeover of China, and missionaries were thrown out, and many of them were released, but he was still there in China, he and his wife. And eventually his wife was let go, but he was still there. I quote from a Daily Bread article. This was their opportunity to put into practice what they had been telling the Chinese people for years. That God is faithful and can be trusted. They knew that how they responded during this ordeal would either confirm or deny their spoken testimony. How they lived in the midst of the trial of being prisoners of the communist regime would either confirm, we've been telling you, that God is able to keep us, that God is able to give us peace and joy in the midst of persecution and torture. How we live now will let the Chinese people know whether what we've been saying is true or not about this God and our faith in him. Well, he was the last missionary, as I understand it, released. And he went on to work with other mission organizations after that. But he was the last missionary to get out of China. When they returned to their people, he and his wife together, they discovered their steadfastness in the midst of confinement and deprivation had borne an even more effective witness than all they had said when they were there. You're writing a life story. Many, many heroes of the faith do not have their names inscribed. I don't think any of you heard of Carlos Julio Tovar. Carlos Tovar was a poor Colombian young fellow who worked as a shoeshine boy in the poverty of Colombia. He heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and got saved. You know what happened when he got saved? He couldn't keep his mouth shut. He went around talking to others. One of his first converts was another shoeshine boy. And together they would just share Jesus Christ. He came and died for you. You can become a Christian. And the governing authorities did not care for his testimony. He was arrested. It wasn't long until Carlos was arrested by the authorities who were strongly opposed to the gospel. While he was in prison, one of the guards stabbed him with a bayonet and threw his body into the Magdalena River. Carlos Tovar was a modern-day martyr, but his death was never reported by the news media. It would have been completely unnoticed had not Elof Anderson, a former missionary to Colombia, written an account of this incident. Truly, most of those who die for their faith are unsung heroes. Heroes. Got him in Hebrews 11 by name. Great victories. Horrendous suffering, torture, and death. But ones who live by faith. I don't know what God has for me, the end of my days. I don't know what God has for any of you. But the challenge is out there once again. Faith stories are still being written. Are you willing to live by faith in your situations, in whatever opens up in the future, in such a way as you continue to grow to be more like Jesus? Living by faith, and He gets the glory. Amen.